Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mantua Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, so glad to be with you once again. God's given us another week that we could be serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and I thank God today he is alive and well, and he still has the last say. And as I look at what's going around the world, it's just astounding to me how countries and groups of people that are opposed to him, and yet he can get the gospel in. He doesn't slow him down even one single second. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." And he said, when he sent us out, he has all power. And I see it all the time. I mean, you think areas would just stop the gospel and there'd be no way. And yet it just, all of a sudden, it opens up. It opens up when Jesus says so. Because our Lord and Savior, he has all power. And we believe he had the power to give us the Bible. We're not deists on this program. We believe that not only did he give it, but he preserved it and kept it. And that's the problem today. So many seminaries, they don't even believe God would keep his words. And yet three of the Gospels say that he would keep his words. And then there's another question, who gave us the Bible? And I was listening to this debate between two people, and one of them was saying, well, the church gave us the Bible. Well, Jesus is the Word of God, and he gave his words to the apostles. And the Bible is very clear about that. He says the Holy Spirit would teach them all things, teach them things that he had not even said in the Gospel of John, and then he would bring all things to the remembrance, so the apostles would have a perfect recall. And then we see in the book of Acts where it says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, some churches teach apostolic succession, that through their ministers that they have received the apostles' authority, but the Bible doesn't teach such a thing, but it does teach apostolic doctrine. And it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and that is the words of God. Jesus said that he would preserve those words. And most preachers today are not even taught that. They're not even, they don't even know that teaching exists, but it's existing, mentioned by Jesus three times in the gospel, three different gospels, and mentioned all through the Bible. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And then God said, I have given them the words that thou hast given me. Who? That, he says, not for you only, but for them that thou hast given me out of the world, for I have given them the words that thou hast given me in the Gospel of John. Well, God said he's given it, and the word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. And then in another place it says that young men, John is writing to young men, and he says, you're strong because the word of God abideth in you. It stays in you. We have the word of God today. And yet, basically, they're using the language of illusion today because on one hand, they talk like they have it. Then when you get them right down to it, they do not believe that they have the very words of God. And it's in some of these seminaries where they're listening to unconverted, unsaved people. And by the way, the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. He rejects them. He can't know them because they're given to God's people. And many evangelicals in this name of so-called scholarship, which is a farce, they are listening to unsaved people promoting fictitious versions and perversions of the Bible. You want to find out who is doing what? I mean, where all this junk is coming from? Read Hazardous Materials by Gail Riplinger, and it's about a 400-page book or more of detailed documented evidence in which these individuals are quoted. Many of them are Unitarians, and we have also, to get the Roman point of view, we have the Archbishop Carlos Maria Martini, named after Maria, named after his god. And he is on the translation committee of the United Bible Society. He's putting these out. Now, I realize this is being listened to worldwide, and we know this because of the impact and what comes back to us. And the thing is, I know that you all have Bibles in different languages, and we believe that God has given us his word. And we find out in the New Testament that he gave the words through the apostles, and he said he would keep the words perfectly, but then he gave them the gift of tongues, which is simply that they had the, he gave the translation of those words. And those translations went all over the world. And that's why when the Authorized King James Bible is translated, 99% of the evidence they had from languages worldwide backed up the readings in the King James. We have spent time on individual verses on our program showing that the vast majority of the ancient translations and Bibles from right going back to the time of the apostles, for instance, the Gothic translation by Euphilus, they say it was Euphilus, but probably going back to the apostles' time. It's the beginning of the English language backs up the King James Bible. And this is known by textual writers of all kinds, not just fundamentalists. We spent time reading them all, everybody we could get their hands on. We're saying what we know to be factual. And we have this these Greek departments in these schools are turning out the language of illusion, and they're confused, and they're messed up. And I mean, they profess to be wise, but they became fools. And they're putting out these perversions. And we have given verse by verse and showing you the vast majority of manuscripts that back up the received text. Now, I was listening today on the Catholic station, which I listen to on television quite a bit. It's very interesting. And there was going on talking about Mary. And of course we believe she was a good woman, and we believe she was spiritual, and she was the physical mother of Jesus. But the way that they were talking about, there's nothing in the whole Bible that begins to talk about her in that direction. For instance, in the Bible, when Mary and Jesus' brothers came to him, and they says, your mother and brothers are here, Jesus says, who are my mothers and brothers? But they that do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And he never even called his mother. He never called her mother in the whole New Testament. Nobody went to her for advice. Nobody prayed to her. Nobody asked anything of her at all. And somebody came to Jesus and said to Jesus, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. And Jesus says, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and do it. I was listening to a discussion between a leading Roman Catholic promoter and Carl Keating and a Baptist preacher in a discussion and a debate. And the Baptist preacher, he read out of this Catholic book, and in it says millions of people have left the Catholic Church because they read the scripture. Well, something is wrong here. I mean, somebody needs to think, why did they leave it when they read the scripture? Have you ever read the scripture? Do you know what it says? I know that in the Mass you get portions of it here and there, but I mean, really, read it systematically. Did you ever read where the woman says to Jesus, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou sucked, that's referring, blessed is Mary? And he says, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and do it. Do you ever listen to the word of God? Do you ever read it? You don't need somebody to interpret it. Your interpreter becomes your final authority. If you have two lawyers in court and they're taking different sides in court, who is the final authority? The judge. Well, God didn't give you some final authority. Your only authority is the word of God. And God says, prove all things. And some of you ministers out there, you learn one thing, and the crowds you hang out with, they believe it, and you just accept it blindly because your crowd believes that. I mean, that goes for all denominations. You know what God says? He said, prove all things. Prove it. Prove it. Prove it. God said that. Check it out. Find out if you got the truth. It's amazing. People say, well, Peter was the first pope and prince of the apostles, and they don't even know what Peter said. Why don't you read what Peter said sometime? You can read it. God said he'd preserve it. You could read what the apostles of Jesus said, Peter, James, and John. It's right there in the New Testament. And God said he'd preserve it. And Jesus said he upheld all things by the word of his power. And if you don't believe that he preserved it, what kind of a God you have? You have a God that can't fight his way out of a paper bag or something, or dead? We got a living God that has all power in heaven and earth. Now today I want to read out of 1 Peter because he is talking about what God says about his word, and it's so important. Listen to what he says. Okay, Brother Al's going to start reading. We'll talk about it.
All right, and that's 2 Peter. And just a reminder, too, the program is live. If you've got a question for Bruce Musselman, you can give him a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And if you missed one of the programs, you can go online to whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And you can look at some past programs there, listen to past programs, and find out more about Bruce Musselman. And I believe we're in 2 Peter chapter 1. And the first verse of the Bible says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Now, Jude, the brother of Jesus, he says that we are to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto us, and it was delivered through the apostles, and it was delivered in his word. That's why we have this program. You know, in the modern versions of the scripture, it's taken from photographs the Pope gave us, and these photographs disagree with one another. It's so crazy. And based on the Vatican and Sinaiticus manuscripts, which disagree in 3,000 places, and so they're making every translation that comes out, they don't tell you, but there's another underlying text. Or they're constantly changing the text. The Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hundreds of words are changed. Not just the words, but the meanings of the words are changed. All through the Bible, whole verses are taken out and added. Jesus is kicked out 100 places in the New Testament in a lot of these perversions. Okay, next verse.
Actually, Bruce, I have a question for you on that verse. You're talking about the changes in words meaning things. In the King James, it says that have obtained like precious faith with us, okay? The New International Version changes that to have received a faith as precious as ours. Do you think that makes a difference?
It sure does.
The Muslims have a faith that's precious to them, right?
Yeah. Peter says like precious faith as he has. If he's the prince of the apostles, why don't they listen to what he says, you know? It's the faith of Peter. You know, if you go to a Baptist church that believes the King James, you are going to church of like precious faith as Peter. Same thing, exactly.
Not just as precious?
What?
Not just as precious.
Yeah.
Like precious faith.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up.
I just saw that there, and I thought that was a good point when you were talking about the words make a difference.
Yeah, he makes the point, same thing. The faith hasn't been changed in 2,000 years. And I know the Roman Church says it's the same, but you could prove that that's not true. I mean, Peter Abelard, back somewhere about 1,600 years ago or something, wrote a book called Yes and No, Sic et Non, Yes and No, you know, showing all the differences between the church fathers. You know, for instance, the Franciscans and the Dominicans argued back and forth over transubstantiation, which is whether the priest could turn a piece of bread into the body, soul, flesh, and blood of Jesus. They argued that for hundreds of years before finally at the Fourth Lateran Council they made it official doctrine. That was 1215. But if you have the Bible, you got the same thing as what Peter has. And you go to a King James Independent Baptist Church, you're going to have the same faith that Peter had, and that's the thing that counts. Go ahead.
All right. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord.
Yeah, grace. You know, they give different definitions. I like the Bible one. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift. You know, if people are always referring to the gift, well, charis is, the Greek word charis is gift. So you don't even have to use the gift because the definition, or the Greek, because the definition is right there in the King James. By grace ye saved through faith, that not yourself. It is a gift. The definition is right there. The definitions of words are found in the King James Bible, just as God wanted you to have them defined. And if you look other places, you're going to be messed up because a lot of times the lectionaries are put out by Unitarians and who knows who. So grace means God gives you salvation as a free gift, and it comes through Jesus Christ, the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord. Okay, somebody's on the phone. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, is this Bruce Musselman?
It sure is.
Oh, this is Tom. How you doing, Bruce?
Glad to meet you. Glad to see you,
Pastor.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Pastor Al. Yeah, it's very interesting. I've been listening to your program more and more about the translation of the Bible. And I'll tell you, I've got about 3 or 4 different translations on my bookshelf, and they're getting dusty, and I'm still using the old King James, and that I keep coming back to that. But I got to tell you also what's interesting is I've been noticing, and I'm not going to mention their names because, you know, they're well-known. Some of the big, well-known Bible teachers of our day that are on television and radio all over the place, I've been noticing in the last year or two, they're all coming out with their own translation study Bibles. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. You know, there's a scripture
they're
verse.
Putting their names on the Bible.
Yeah.
And calling it their version. And it's like, I just am amazed. And these are supposed to be leading evangelical ministers.
Yeah. Let me say something about this. First of all, when they say that, though, that's their commentary on the translation. But here's the thing. They're using different translations. And each translation comes from a different Greek text. Now, you go in a bookstore, well, there are not many Christian bookstores around our area again. They almost went out. They went out of business, it seems like. But you would read, and they just talk about translations. Every translation comes from a different Greek text.
Uh-huh.
And so they never say that. They talk about translations, and these Greek texts disagree with each other because the people on these committees are constantly changing them.
Yeah.
I mean, Nestle's Greek text has 23 editions, and then New American Standard was based on the 23rd edition, and then the New International Version is based on the 24th edition of Nestle's Greek text. They're constantly changing these Greek texts. I'm telling you, this whole system is madness. That's why God has put us on the air for the last 36 years.
Well, and I think that with all the confusion it's bringing, it's like this is what's led us down a watered-down path of Christianity in the last couple decades, you know, where we're not hearing ministers stand up and saying, you know, God's a forgiving and a loving God, but he's also a God of wrath and justice, isn't he?
Absolutely,
like,
you got it right.
What happened? I'm in my 60s. I remember some old-time gospel ministers that used to be on the radio back in the late 50s and early 60s that preached the Word of God as true as it was. And most of them used the King James Bible, and they told us they didn't give us a watered-down gospel. You know, of all this, of, you know, all we're listening to today is, you know, that God's going to make us wealthy and heal us and everything is going to be hunky-dory. That's not the Jesus I follow. Listen, thanks for your program, and I'll be listening in.
Well, thank you for calling. I appreciate that a lot. And, you know, when he's talking about these guys, I noticed this, too, on radio and television, everybody has a different translation. They're not even using the same one. And there's this passage of scripture in the Bible where God says, I beseech you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that you all speak the same thing. You know, there's a great emphasis today on unity between Christians. You know what D.L. Moody said, and he was, by the way, he was a King James only believer, strongly, greatly used of God. And D.L. Moody, when he was talking about this, he says, for Christian unity, we should use the Bible as it stands. I mean, the same, in other words, the same one. And he was talking about people that were changing it. I mean, he's talking about the King James Bible. We all use the same one. Everybody has a different one. This is a direct violation of a clear-cut statement of the Word of God. Okay, go ahead.
All right, well, we're down to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue.
And that knowledge comes through the Word of God. Jesus is called the Word of God, and that's why, and it's not just a message. They talk about just the message, you know, well, they change the Word of God to message. No, it's the words. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Psalms 12:6-7. They're pure, and God will preserve his words, and it's words. It's words. You change the words, you're going to change the thought and the meaning of the thing. See, go ahead.
All right, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Go ahead.
All right. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge.
Okay, let's go down to verse 12.
All right, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth.
Go ahead.
Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance.
Go on.
Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me.
Okay.
And continues on in verse number 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance.
Then it says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For we received from God the Father honor and glory, which were there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain. Now here he says, we heard the voice of God the Father out of heaven. We saw Christ in all of his glory. But he says, we also have a more sure word of prophecy. There's something more sure than seeing Christ in all of his glory and hearing the voice of God the Father with our own ears. And then he says, we have that more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, ye take heed. Now, he says, as a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing there first that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So he says, God, the Holy Bible is more sure than seeing Christ in all of his glory and hearing the voice of God the Father. Why? Because God said he'd keep it. And, you know, that's why we should read it. And the Bible says, prove all things. Check it out. You know, for you preachers, if you're listening to this program, all we ask you is to check it out. And you know, so some of these well-known pastors, why don't they get a list and check the changes made in these new versions as they come out, and they see the corruption in them. And you need to check them out. God says, prove all things. Are you doing what the Bible said? God said he'd give us the Word of God. You know, somebody says, well, how do you know this King James is the Word of God? Very simple. The Word of God liveth and abideth forever. Every other hundreds of translations disappear. This one keeps right on going. Every new generation keeps going back to it. People that read it, it doesn't stop. It remains the same. It's the same text that the apostles used. And we have it today. And it tells us that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God bless you. Have a great day.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.